Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast, brought to you by Harvey Norman's range of the latest and greatest TVs from Samsung, including SUHD, curved and smart TVs.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Ducky Boy tonight, Real Madrid and Ronaldo take on Totti and Roma at the MCG at 7pm. Fans of the round ball game will just be beside themselves with this. And there's a great side story, Ducky, about a young Australian fella who has signed from Perth Glory to AS Roma, who'll start on the bench tonight.
And it's a record amount.
It is. A record transfer in the A-League, somewhere between $1.5 to $2.5 million.
And that all goes to the club.
It goes to the club, so it goes to Perth Glory. And Daniel De Silva is his name, and his father joins us on the line now, Rodney De Silva. Good morning, Rodney.
Hey, g'day, boys. How are you?
Oh, how are you, Rodney? This is a story that's really sort of gone under the radar in a lot of ways, but your young bloke tonight, after meeting his teammates a couple of days ago, before you all moved to Italy, is starting on the bench, and if he gets a run, could play against Cristiano Ronaldo tonight. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it is, mate. He's absolutely buzzing for the opportunity, but he's already said that he's had an outstanding time since he's been here, and, just already relished the opportunity to train with the big names like Totti and Jovenio and all these sort of boys. And, if he gets a run on the park against the opposition, it'll be great.
Absolutely. That's a dream come true. I want to know where it all started. What age did he start playing soccer, and did he have natural talent straight off the bat?
It goes back to when he was probably about 10 months old. He kicked his first ball and played in his first team at 5 years old. And then just went from there, mate. And look, probably at about the age of about nine, sort of realised that he was quite gifted. So, and it went from there, and he's been playing sort of like a year up ever since. And, it just went from there, and one thing led to another. And as you know, he's represented Australia in a few different teams and things like that. So, it's all went from there, mate, basically. So,
Rodney,
very early age.
He debuted for Perth Glory as a 15-year-old. How did you first... the information first come to you that a club of the size of AS Roma was interested, and no doubt you sat down with a young man and he sat down with all those around him to sign a contract. Did it just blow your whiskers off, Rodney?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. He represented Australia in the under-20 World Cup at 16 in Turkey, and he had a fairly good tournament there, and that's basically where most of the recognition come from. And on the world stage is sort of where the opportunities kicked off from. And absolutely, mate. When people approached us and him, we were like, "What? Really?" She was like, "Yeah, pretty awesome, mate." So, and at some stage, even now, we still pinch ourselves to make sure it's all not just a dream. But it's been awesome for him, and also for the family, mate. It's been great to see the achievements. That he's worked hard for it. And living his dream at the moment, so it's great.
We're speaking to Rodney De Silva. His son has just signed with AS Roma. He'll be on the bench tonight against Real Madrid.
Now, Rodney, you're a close-knit family, and I believe you're all going to move to Rome with him.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, it's my wife and myself and my other son, who's also quite a talented footballer, so hopefully he'll not be too far behind, and see what happens. He actually plays for Glory as well, but in the under 18. So we'll see what happens there as well. But yeah, definitely all four of us are going together. So.
Hey, being a talented youngster, how protective of him were you when he was coming up? You said he always played up, and then obviously played at the highest level at 15. Were you always worried that all of a sudden he was being thrown in the deep end against men too early?
No, not really worried about it, because as you say, I have kept a fairly watchful eye on him, but he's had some good coaches and things like that that have made sure that they've released him in sort of small doses amongst the men, and sort of got him, given him an opportunity to get used to it before they just let him play full-time football. So he's with the men. So he's sort of gradually gone into it. But just in terms of just being able to cope on the park, I always, when he went on at 15, we sort of thought, with 15 minutes or whatever he got, 20 minutes, we thought he'd be okay, and he handled himself okay in his debut. So, and I guess the biggest buzz for him is he got to play against Del Piero. So that was a real huge buzz for him. So
And now he's going to be playing alongside Francesco Totti, who is a legend in Italy. I reckon he was the one that probably scored the penalty to knock us out in 2006 when Lucas Neal went down. Tell us about the size and the scope of the club. Obviously, you're at a very professional club at Perth Glory, but just a little insight you've had into the size of the organisation at AS Roma that young man's going to.
Yeah, well, we went for the first time to Roma last year to meet the guys at the club, and it's just it's a different world, mate. It's like, you know, like something we've never seen before, and yeah, absolutely blows your mind. It's just the facilities, the professionalism, and just the way and how they take their football, but at the same time, you know, playing it and just playing it with a real passion and enjoyment. And I think it's just, yeah, it's been absolutely awesome to just go there, experience that, and just watch Daniel as he just, his eyes just opened up and just lit up when they sort of said, look, we want to make you a Roma player, you know, so it's great, yeah.
Hey, Rodney, I found this an absolutely fascinating chat. We really appreciate your time. We'll follow your family's progress over in Italy. Best of luck, and gee, have a great time at the MCG tonight, Rodney.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate the coverage as well. Thanks very much for that.
Good stuff.
Rodney De Silva, the father of Daniel De Silva. How good?
You know what I love about this show? We get to speak to great guys like that, and we get to know a little bit more about Daniel, and now you can follow his whole career.
That's it.
I'll be interested in AS Roma now for a very long time, just watching to see how young Daniel goes.
Yeah, spot on. Good luck to that entire family tonight. Duck, can't wait. Triple M footy tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. Get the opportunity to call Maddie's match, St Kilda versus Richmond, which is going to be just a wonderful, wonderful occasion.
It's
Ducky
going
boy.
To be a big game, and I said last night on Channel 7 how it doesn't matter who you barrack for, get along to this game. It's going to be a ripper. You've got the big players, both teams in good form. It's going to be a beauty.
That's it. If you haven't got tickets, you can get them online now to avoid some big queues. Go to www.mrv.org.au. That's www.mrv.org.au. And $5 of every ticket purchased for the match goes towards Matty Riewoldt's vision in the fight against bone marrow
failure. You can buy T-shirts. You can buy all sorts of things on the day. Yeah,
budgie smugglers. The purple ones.
Shoelaces.
That's it. And to talk us about it all is the lovely Catherine Riewoldt, the wife of Nick, and a lady who does a lot of good things in this community. She joins us on the line now. G'day, Kath.
G'day, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. It has been a phenomenal few weeks, Catherine. Have you been blown away by the support you've got from not the football community, but the Melbourne community in general? It's been something to make you smile, I would have thought.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no words, really. It's been so overwhelming. We've been so excited. I mean, this is obviously the response that we hoped we may get, but I don't think we ever actually dreamed it was going to be this big and huge and have so many people behind us. So we're so grateful to each and every person supporting it.
And obviously your man, Nick, is fighting to be fit for it. He wants to be up and about. How's he traveling?
Yeah, he's good. You know, it's definitely not ideal right now, but can't be helped when he's a bit of an old man like he is these days. No, but he's gone above and beyond to try and prepare himself, you know, like he does every week. So, you know, walking in the water at the beach and working with the physio. So everyone's getting around him at the club, and he's done all he can. So we'll just see how he goes and wait and see how he pulls up for the game.
Catherine, Nick and Jack and various people have been in throughout the last month on the Dead Set Legends, and it's been described to me about the enormous amount of effort and the effort that you've put in as well to get this involved. It's not like you just put on a game of football and it all takes care of itself. It's been a big team effort.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been so many people behind the scenes, too many people to mention really to make all this happen. It's quite a huge undertaking, and as much as we tried to prepare ourselves, I don't think we... You know, you can never underestimate quite how big this job can be, but so many people have gotten behind us and to be honest, made it pretty easy in the long run because we've got so many people setting us up to be successful as an organization down the track and, you know, just trying to help other people in the same situation Maddie was in and help their families and just help educate, make people more aware of this disease that she had to fight so hard.
mrv.org.au. Duck, I wouldn't have thought originally Catherine was coming into the studio.
Yep.
Let's be honest, we were absolutely shattered when she wasn't able to come in today because a little one, Duck.
And Nick, I know, little. Yes. I believe little James is a little bit sick at the moment.
He is. He's actually been fighting bronchitis for just over a week now. It's been terrible. He hasn't been sick yet this winter. And then I kind of had this total meltdown when he had his first cough. I thought it was the end of the world, even though it was just a cough. But yeah, so he's had an ear infection and a fever, but he's finally on the mend now, so I think he's going to be right just in time for the game, hopefully like his dad. We'll be pulling in at the last minute.
They're resilient little buggers. Little Charlotte's got a cough at the moment. How sad is it when they, you know, they're waking up at night, they're coughing, you just want to hold them, don't you?
Exactly. And he's been getting so spoiled because now my mom's in town. So anytime he coughs or looks sad, he's just immediately picked up. I think he's actually faking it now.
Yeah.
I think he kind of scared himself that first cough he had. He didn't know what was happening. So he was crying and coughing and so confused. It was terrible.
Hey, Catherine, listen, we really appreciate your time. As we said, www.mrv.org.au. Duck and I'll be at the footy tomorrow in our purple speedos, won't we, in the budgies?
Oh, perfect. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, very different sizes. Duck's got the extra large. I've got the extra small. But you've got to deal with what life gives you, Catherine.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate your time. Have a wonderful weekend. Hope the big fella gets through, and we'll see you all at the footy tomorrow.
Thanks so much, guys. See you there.
Maddie's match tomorrow, 19th of July. Duck, if you're going to go to one game for the season,
that's the game you'd go to.
Absolutely. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey will be on Triple M as well on the Dead Set Legends with Catherine Riewoldt, Triple M.
This is Dead Set Legends on Triple M, thanks to Harvey Norman. Now, Howie, this is fast becoming the favourite segment on Dead Set Legends, and it's called Howie's Tours. It's been big. We've only been going for 2 weeks. We've already been to Egypt.
Yep.
We've been to Bolivia, visited a jail in Bolivia last week, believe it or not. You can go into a jail there. It was unbelievable. So let's spin the wheel and find out where we're going this week.
We are going to...
Where are we going to?
Namibia.
Where? Where? Somewhere in...
Namibia. Say it to me.
What's it called?
Namibia.
Namibia.
No, again. Let's try again. Namibia.
Namibia.
No, let's try again.
Namibia.
Namibia.
Just get on with it.
It is the country north to the west of South Africa.
Yeah, well, I figured that.
Yes. What was it called?
Namibia.
That's right. Namibia. Capital of Windhoek. Now, this is a part of the world.
Capital of where?
The capital is Windhoek, which means windy city in German. Namibia, one of the top five countries I've ever been to.
You can't pronounce it, don't go.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Las Vegas. Hey, one of my top five places I've ever been.
Really?
But, Duck, this week on Howie's Tours, we're taking up the adventure to about an eight, but when you take up the adventure to an eight, you also take up the danger to an eight.
Okay.
So, before I tell you about the delights of Namibia, I need to start off with the things you need to not do if you want to get home from your trip to Namibia. Right.
So, remembering where it is, it's...
Yes. Africa.
Africa.
And it's a beautiful part of the world. But there's a couple of things you need to watch out for. These are don't do's in Namibia. Now, the first one seems obvious, but people do it. When you go on safari, don't get out of your car.
I would have thought that's an obvious
one. Well, you would have.
And by the way, you don't do a safari in a... You're talking about in an open Jeep.
See, this is the best thing about Namibia. You take your own safari. You hire your own car and you drive through the parks on
now
your
that,
own.
That is dangerous.
So, well, not if you don't get out of your car, it's not. And this is a serious point because whenever you go to any of the parks in that part of the world, there are always newspaper articles up about people, and this is without a word of a lie, have thought, that's a nice looking lion, I'm going to get out and have a photo with it.
Oh, my God.
Now, can
God.
I tell you, Ducky? Yeah. The lions are not called the king of the jungle because they like taking selfies, Ducky boy.
Okay. I've done safaris in South Africa, so I know all about it. It's the best thing I've ever done.
There you go. Don't get out of your car because every year in Namibia, there's about four or five different people had their arms, legs, heads ripped off.
They do look very cute and very cuddly, though, when you're just sitting there looking at them. They see you as their next feed, though.
That's exactly right. So don't get out of your car. Okay. The second thing you never should do in Namibia... When the locals tell you can camp somewhere, just don't listen to them.
Okay? Is this for the same reason?
Well, similar reasons. Yep. So I had an experience up in the north of Namibia where I spoke to a bloke at the local pub. He said, there's a river down there, you can camp there, no problem. I'm in my little one-man tent with another offsider. He's got his one-man tent by the river.
Hang on, that wasn't a one-man tent for two, was it?
No. This was a big, hairy bloke.
I'm just clearing that up.
A big, hairy bloke from France. In the middle of the night, noises start. When you're in a tent in Africa... It's not much fun, Ducky. So there's noises going through the campground.
Actually hear the roars of the lions of the night.
Is that the most frightening thing you've ever heard when you hear the lions roar?
It is. It's amazing. It's quite an experience. But keep going.
I pulled out my little pen light, stuck it out there. Four massive elephants right next to my tent. Now, again, big, cute Dumbo.
Yep.
They tread on your tent. You're in all sorts of trouble. Third thing you do never do in Namibia, don't go surfing on your own because they've got some of the biggest sharks you've ever seen in the world. But... The things you do need to do, Ducky boy, the thing about Namibia, the scenery is absolutely unbelievable. So you get there, you hire a car, and it's the ultimate road trip. There's a place called Sussafly, the world's biggest sand dunes, Ducky.
Yep.
In Namibia.
So you do...
So you go there, you climb up in the morning, watch the sun come up over the sand dunes. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Bit of surfing on the sand dunes?
You can surf on the sand dunes. You take your cardboard, you go straight down there, you're on it.
Yep.
But the number one thing you must do in Namibia, what people don't understand about Namibia is it was settled by the Germans.
Can you stop saying it? You're actually confusing me by keep saying it.
Where are we? Which country?
Namibia.
Are we? That's it. That's it. Settled by the Germans, Ducky. So everything runs. It's got all the delights of Africa, but it runs on a German timetable. So you go up to Etosha National Park, which is the best game park for mine in the whole of Africa. There's a night water hole where you sit behind a fence, obviously, and the animals are in the wild. It's lit up and they come down at night.
Wow.
So all the animals come down, then the giraffes, the elephants, then the lions come down. But because it's run by the Germans and they run such a tight system, you can sit there and order the world's biggest schnitzel and a big stein of beer. Have your schnitzel.
And just watch that.
Drink your beer.
That's incredible.
And watch the lion come down.
You'd watch, because a lot of the lions actually do their hunting around the waterhole.
They do.
So they come down there because as the other animals come down to drink.
That's right, Ducky.
They try to catch the other.
Listen to you, David Attenborough.
Well, do you see any live
live kills the most amazing thing you do see is all the animals are there and then they all disappear. And within 25 minutes later, the lion comes down, so they know he's coming. Yeah. I once saw a cheetah attack a gazelle. It's not really a discussion for this program, I don't think, because children might be listening. But get yourself to Namibia,
Ducky. Well, that sounds amazing. I tell you what, you're going from strength to strength. Howie's Tours is absolutely growing. It'll have a sponsor very soon.
Oh, I would not be surprised.
I'm on the job. I'm pretty sure we might have Jet Set Travel on board, Howie,
for
you.
A little tempter.
Yeah.
That'd be very nice. Your boys, Duck, the Kangaroos, 14-9-93. Too good for Essendon last night, 9-14-68. And one of my favourite Kangaroos joins us on the line, Scotty Thompson. Hello, Scotty.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Great to have you on, Scotty. I've just got to gather my thoughts and think about how I'm going to pose a certain question to you while Duck goes real hard on some footy stuff. I've just got to get myself together here, Scotty.
Oh, look out, Scotty. He's got a big question for you. But we'll talk a little bit of footy. Big Goldie last night, mate. I know he's had a fantastic year, but is that the best game that he's played for the year?
Yeah, definitely. Just pretty much everything he did on the game was perfect. And he has had a good season so far, but it was an exceptional game last night, and especially in the first quarter, I think taking five marks and getting a bit of the ball early, which is what we wanted him to do.
How did you see the game last night? Because obviously sitting at centre-half back, full back, you see the game unfold, and it seemed for a fair period, even in that first half, you had control of the game, but a lot of skill errors, and all of a sudden the Bombers, they went in at half-time on top.
Yeah, I think at halftime they'd scored 42 of their 43 points from turnovers. So obviously we had a lot of the ball, but we just seemed not to be able to get it forward and actually score. So I think missing Drury Petrie was a big thing in the first half, and then we found other avenues to kick goals. But yeah, turnovers definitely cost us in the first half, and then it was a pretty contested game. And then second half, we were lucky enough to blow it open a bit in the third quarter.
I was going to say, you lacked a little bit of cohesion going forward with our Drew Petrie and Lindsay Thomas. Now, Lindsay will play another game in the VFL. You left him out. I thought at half time you might be ruining that decision because you really lack the ability to kick goals. But Big Ben Brown, I mean, this boy, I know he was very good last night. He's had his time in the Magoos this year, but I reckon he has to stay in the side. He's a beauty.
Yeah, he is a beauty, and as you would know, he takes the ball at the highest point. So defending him at training is really tough because he's got a good leap and takes it at that highest point, so it's really hard to defend. And he gives you a contest, and that's all you're after as a forward, and we're wrapped with him.
And I want to give one other lad a rap. Benny Jacobs, last year, I reckon his emergency 15 times. He's been in and out of the side. He's on a one-year deal. His last 2 weeks, Selwood and then Heppel, he's been terrific. And it's a role that, I certainly, looking from afar, didn't think he was capable of. I didn't realise he had such a good endurance to play on these types of players, but he's been awesome.
Yeah, especially this week. He was awesome on Heppel. I think he kept him to 16 touches and 15 himself. So that's his role now, and he's been doing exceptionally well. And, yeah, he's got a good motor, and he can pretty much go with anyone. So he's got that competitive edge as well. So he's a gun as well. And it's looking like a few of our players are getting a bit of form. So it's good coming into the back half of the season.
Absolutely. Now, you're on a little bit of a roll. You go up to Brisbane. Boomers 400. So it's going to be a big week for the footy club and big week for the team because it's important that you get a little bit of... Well, you get on a run now and you get a few wins together. But I'm going to pass you over now to the man that has been working on some massive story to do with you.
Story.
I don't know what it is.
It's a positive
Scotty,
story.
I don't know what it is, but I'll hand you over.
Scotty, I just can't come up and ask it. I've just got to work my way into it with a little bit of background first. They tell me you're being very effective at home now, away from footy, in the home improvement department. You're a renovator these days?
I try to be. No, I'm not a renovator. I just like being out in the shed.
Hello, yeah. Scotty. Oh, I thought we lost you. Yes, we lost you. Okay, well, further to that, your first income, was it derived down Cadinia Parkway? I heard a rumour. Is this true?
Yeah, that's a bit of a stitch up. I think my mum stitched me up then. Yeah, as a little kid, used to collect the canvas from my mum and my brothers.
All right, Scotty, this is the one that I've been working up to. Now, it's difficult when it concerns medical issues, but I'm just going to bring it to the table. Now, Duck, I don't quite know how to say this. You know the area of your body basically between, I guess you'd call it your front bum and your back bum, Duck?
Yeah, I get it.
Apparently it's called the nub or something like that. Now, Scotty, did you get kicked in that region at a training session?
In a pracky match. In Ballarat, got healed there. So
you got healed there. What was the what was the ongoing situation that developed as a result of that nasty blow?
Yeah, well, it wasn't too good actually. So 2 weeks, had a bit of trouble. Well, I didn't have trouble for those 2 weeks. It was the opposite really. But then after those 2 weeks, couldn't. Nothing would work for about 6 months.
Well, nothing would work for 6 months, but from what I can gather, due to the excess blood flow in the area, there's only one way to say this. It was like you'd taken Viagra for 3 straight weeks, apparently, Scotty.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks. It didn't really go down, so I had to play a game at Etihad and wear 2 pairs of jocks.
How'd you go doing number twos? Number ones? Both?
Yeah. If you talk a percentage, it wasn't 100, but it was just staying around that 75%.
So you were out on the ground playing football pretty much locked and loaded, Scotty.
Yeah, and you could imagine when it's that long, it was pretty sore too. So, yeah.
Oh, Scotty, listen, I was unsure about how to bring that up, but thank you for filling us in some of the medical parts of your life. We appreciate it. May that not be an issue that afflicts you later in life, and you have a wonderful career from here on in. Good luck with you and Boomer next week.
Thanks, boys.
Good stuff, Scotty.
He dealt with that very well, Ducky.
He did. I tell you what, that would be terribly uncomfortable just for 2.5 weeks, Howie.
Well, it was there. It would not go anywhere for near on 3 weeks. Cristiano Ronaldo is going to join us shortly, I believe, on the dead. You want to say something?
There was a line there for me, but I thought I won't go there.
Hello to everyone on the way to Auskick. That's at Legends Triple M. Hey, Ducky, we go everywhere on this show. We're about to go to Ohio in the United States of America because there is a world championship of gridiron taking place as we speak, and the Aussies have had their first win ever in the history of the competition.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that we were real flash at that particular sport.
Well,
Howie?
We'll find out because we've got the coach on. He's a Melbourne man. John Lighton joins us on the line from Ohio. G'day, John. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you.
Great to speak with you. Tell us a little bit about this tournament. We don't hear a great deal about it back here, but it's a very big tournament with countries from all around the world.
Sure, yeah. There's 7 countries participating in the tournament, and, it's in Canton, Ohio, the home of the pro football in the state. So we're playing in a field where the Hall of Fame game is played, and it's a good environment.
How do we stack up against the other countries?
Well, it depends on who the other countries are. There basically are 4 countries in the world that are just a class on their own. And that's the United States, Canada, and Japan, and Mexico are the 4 big countries. And then there is another group, basically are the top European countries, and we're just below the European countries at the moment.
John, you had your first win in 16 years, a 47-6 demolition of the South Koreans. You just taught them an absolute football lesson.
Yeah, it went really well. Last time we played Korea, we lost, so we couldn't go to the 2007 World Championships. And there was something that was in the back of the minds of our guys, and we took care of business this time around.
I wouldn't have thought too many South Koreans would have too many big linebackers.
Well, you'd be surprised, you know, like people think about Mexico, they don't have big people, but, you know, if there's enough people there, you find also, if I find some big people in every country. So they had some big guys as well, Korea. As you might imagine, they also have some fast guys, and you need a bit of both in football.
So will we ever see an Australian go over to America and be anything other than a punter? Now, we've obviously got a man over there, Haynes, at the moment, trying to be a running back. Yeah. Will we ever see it?
I'm sure we will. You know, in a previous life, I used to coach in the NFL Europe, and we were looking for talent in Europe to make it to the NFL. And there are players out there, there are athletes out there, and it's just a matter of time to when some of these guys actually make it. And Jared has obviously a very great athletic ability, but you know, to make it on that level, you know, you have guys who started playing the game when they were 8, and they have all kinds of skills that you know, that's besides the athletic ability that make it happen for him. So, but I'm pretty sure, you know, Australia has the athletes. We have the athletes. They're not in our sport just yet, but the more Adam Gossesses and Jesse Williams we have, you know, the more the kids will actually look at gridiron to say, well, listen, this might be a path for me to go and get a scholarship to go to college. After college, maybe have a shot at the NFL. You know, one of the receivers in the NFL signed a new contract with the Dallas Cowboys, and he's going to make $70 million in 5 years. You know, so when you start making really money like that, you know, maybe kids get interested in that way as well.
Yeah, spot on, John. Listen, we really appreciate you filling us in with what's happening. The Australian Outback National Gridiron team will be cheering for you, and best of luck. We appreciate your time from Ohio.
Thank you very much.
Williams at Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, we're a pretty light-hearted, upbeat show. We don't normally get too involved in the heavy side of life, but a couple of breaking stories at the moment that we need to bring to your attention. Firstly, and I read this is from an ABC News report, the police are investigating a suspicious item thought to be an improvised explosive device found outside a Sydney waterfront property owned by Australian Test cricketer Brad Haddin. 3:15pm yesterday, local area command attended the property. Spokesman said the device was found on the nature strip outside the property. It is understood police found 2 butane canisters with a wick attached and an attempt had been made to light the device. Now, there's been no link between the fact that it was Brad Haddin's property at this stage and the fact that the device was there, but New South Wales police are on top of that at the moment.
Well, that's not good news, is it?
No.
It doesn't matter whose house it's sitting in front of. That's just dangerous.
It is. A second report coming in as we speak, and we've got Greg Rust on the line. You remember last year at the Japanese Grand Prix at the Suzuka circuit in wet conditions, Jules Bianchi went off and actually hit a tractor that was removing another car from the circuit. He's been in a coma in intensive care ever since then. He has not been in a good way, shape or form, and apparently some sad news is just coming through at the moment as we speak to Greg Rust. Hello, Rusty.
Howie, g'day. I've yet to talk to our colleagues like James Allen and people like that in the UK, but various outlets are saying that Jules Bianchi has passed away. He's been in a coma for 9 months since that accident, and as you rightly point out at the time, it was horrendously wet conditions at Suzuka. They were trying to remove Adrian Sutil's car, which had gone off at the time, and Jules went off in the wet conditions and made contact with that recovery vehicle, and he sustained heavy brain injuries by the sounds of it. He was eventually moved from a hospital in Japan to Nice to be closer to family. His father, Philippe, had only said in recent days that he was frustrated by, you know, a lack of progress when you get a brain injury like that. Evidently, the first 6 months are critical if you are to recover from it. And he's been in the coma now, or had been, I should say, for 9 months. So very sad news for the Formula One fraternity, because it's, you know, safety is paramount in that game. And they've had a very, very good record, Howie, as you know, since the tragic death of Ayrton Senna in 1994.
Yeah, as you say, Rusty, you speak, no, I don't say this flippantly, you speak to the older drivers, Duck, the likes of Jackie Stewart, and to them, death was a part of what they did. Yeah. It was something, and they all knew people and had mates that passed away, even the great Alan Jones that works with at Network 10. But then, as you mentioned, Rusty, it hasn't happened since Senna and probably Roland Ratzenberger on that horrific weekend. It was just one of those frightful incidents, but as Formula One does, as soon as anything goes wrong, they try and make sure that can never happen again. And Formula One's done that as a result of what happened with Bianchi.
Absolutely. And, you know, even in this country, it filters down, Howie. I mean, people like Tim Schenken, the race director of V8 Supercars, is often working with international bodies Gary Connell is another one that, you know, they're acutely aware of safety innovations. And yes, there would have been a lot of questions raised and procedural changes in the wake of that, and that will never stop. You know, the Senna accident, you know, we'd had a pretty good run, and, and everyone sort of sat back and said, okay, how can we ensure that we do this better? That's an impeccable run from 94 to now, as you say, compared to what it used to be like in the 50s, 60s and 70s. So very, very sad news. He was a guy that, you know, you'd often see on Twitter the likes of Fernando Alonso and others, you know, wishing him well and hoping that he would recover. So very sad news.
Hey, Rusty, we appreciate your time. Bring us the updated news that the reports are coming out that the family of F1 driver Jules Bianchi confirms he has passed away following the crash in the Japan GP last October. Thanks, Rusty.
Cheers, boys.
Plenty more to come on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck halfway through in away the Open Championship. A lot of poor weather last night, so the leaders haven't got through their 36 holes. Dustin Johnson once again leads at 10 under. He's minus 3 today through 13. Good news for the Aussies. Jason Day is 2 under today, minus 8 overall in third position. Adam Scott with a 5 under today. He's completed his round. He is equal 5th. So the Aussies are going
touch.
Well.
They're in touch.
They are. Bowditch minus 5, Ogilvy minus 5, Leishman minus 1. Jordan Spieth, minus 5. He's through 13 holes. The man trying to win a third straight major. And our man over there, and he is our man now because he's jumped on board the Dead Set Legends, Mark Hayes, the Golf Australia media manager from St Andrews. Hello, Hazy.
Hello, Howie. That's just one of the biggest feathers in my cap to be one of your men. That is magnificent.
Well, it's a very, very select bunch, Hazy. Tiger tried to come on with us and we said, no, you haven't made the cut. We're not interested. We want Hazy. Now, firstly, Hazy, I had the great pleasure of going to St Andrews during the Commonwealth Games last year, and it was one of those things that gets built up in your mind and it blew me away. Just tell the people a little bit about what it's like watching golf at this magnificent venue.
It's breathtaking. The town itself is spectacular. It's like a little fairy book. You sort of know a little bit about it before you come, obviously, and then whatever estimations you have of it, it sort of blows them away when you get here. It's just a golf town. It's sort of, if you can't, just like in Melbourne, if you can't talk footy in a pub, you're going to be out of conversations. If you can't talk golf here at St Andrews, you're in a world of pain socially, I reckon. So if you're a golf nerd like me, that's a pretty fair place to be.
Hazy, which one of the Aussies are looking the goods? Obviously, Day's leading them at the moment, but is he the most likely?
It's tough to say, Doug. I reckon Scotty's looking pretty poised, and to hear him speak after his round today, you just go and throw your house on him. He was really confident. He's in the right spot, and he actually admitted for the first time in a long time he's playing with a chip on his shoulder to finally knock this sort of claret jug curse off him. He's been in the top 5 3 years in a row. And he just said all the right things in his press conference after his 67 today. So I'm leaning that way. Jason Day's one shot ahead of him at 8 under, and they're chasing Dustin Johnson, who's at 10 under. Those two blokes, Day and Johnson, probably hold the key as to where the tournament goes, because if they come out tomorrow and blow it away early, when they complete their second round, they've still got 5 and 7 holes to play respectively, then the complex, the sort of nature of the tournament will change. If they sort of fumble a bit, and right now it is blowing an absolute hurricane here. We could wake up in Kansas, Howie, I tell you. And if it goes out like that in the morning, who knows what it'll be. Scott could be sort of only one or two off the lead. So he's my man at the moment, Wayne.
Yeah, and I reckon, Hazy, he was praying for wind all weekend. He's so just beautiful off the tee and iron play, Adam Scott. So hopefully for him it continues to blow. Jordan Spieth is 5 under through 13. This is a man that probably 18 months ago the general sport community would have never heard of. He is doing incredible things, and again, he's putting himself in position, Hazy.
Well, he is, Howie, but he sort of stumbled a bit today. He's chasing history. He's going to try to become here the second bloke to have the Grand Slam alive through three of the four championships. So he's in a position of a lot of pressure. He's trying to downplay that as the week's unfolded, but maybe it just got to him a bit today. I'm not going to write him off because he's just too good when he gets in the crunch. But he just had 3 bogeys from sort of out of nowhere today, and it just wasn't Jordan Spieth, including one in the par 5, and he never does that. So, well, I don't want to write him off.
Well, you have, Hazy. You have. You've written the bloke off, and that's why we like you coming on here, because you're not afraid to call it how you see it. Spieth can't win, Ducko. Well,
stick a fork in him. He's won 2 majors this year, but he can't win this one.
Talk about can't win this one. What about our man Tiger? 129th spot.
Tiger is... I think we have to unhitch him from our man list, actually. Duck, he's gone.
You reckon he's done?
He will, Yeah, no, he is finished. I'm sorry. He's talking a really good game. He flushes the ball on the practice range, gets out on the big stage and just no longer has it. He is not Tiger. I don't know where the real Tiger's gone, but this isn't him. It's actually sad to watch. I don't know what else to say about it, but it's just not something that we've come to expect from arguably the greatest golfer of the modern era, at least. He's just a shadow of that. And in my opinion, I reckon he should just sort of have a really long spell and just consider his options, because he shouldn't be even in this field. He's not up to it.
Hazy, I don't say this lightly, but golf in the past hasn't been that easy to deal with. But in the last 6 months, through yourself and Golf Australia, we've had Cam Smith on, we've had Jordan Spieth's coach on. You've made it a lot more accessible, which is what the game needs. So we really appreciate it, mate. Enjoy the rest of the weekend at St Andrews.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
And it's Mark Hayes. So Dustin Johnson leads at -10. Jason Day in third. Adam Scott in fifth.
And Tiger's done.
Done. Put a fork in him. You also said Jordan Spieth can't win as well. We might get him on next week to review that. Mark Howe, Wayne Carey on the Dead Set Legends with Mark Hayes from St Andrews on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howe and Wayne Carey, Catherine Riewoldt and Rodney De Silva, the father of a young man from Perth who's about to play for AS Roma tonight against Real Madrid. Still to come, register at triplem.com.au for your chance to have the AEG barbecue trailer out at your club for a Saturday morning fry-up. The best part is all proceeds go to the club and you'll be in the chance to win this amazing custom AEG barbecue trailer, all thanks to AEG Power Tools.
It's unbelievable, this trailer.
Yes, it is. You can get it at Bunnings Warehouse. It's unbelievable, Ducky boy.
It is massive. But I'll tell you what, Howie, yep. We've got a big show coming up and you said we're going to speak to Ronaldo.
Yes.
Are we?
Yes, pretty much. I think we've got Cristiano Ronaldo on the line.
Have we got him on now? Are you serious?
The greatest footballer in the
what
history of the planet.
What a shocking build-up.
Cristiano, firstly, thanks for joining us. Good luck tonight at the MCG. To you, everything you've done in your career, what does it mean to you to appear on the Dead Set Legends?
A lot. This has meant a lot for me.
Well, that's fantastic, Christian. Wonderful to be speaking to you. You've had some amazing career highlights. Would you say this is one of them?
So far, maybe yes.
See, this is an extraordinary exclusive I'm bringing to the table here, Doug.
You're a shocker.
This is an extraordinary exclusive.
That's not him, is it?
Well, it is. That's Cristiano Ronaldo. He's been very enthused in this show. He's been listening for a long time.
He doesn't interview very well.
Well, no, he's still on the line.
It's short.
Portuguese is his number one language. I can't slide into that. Ratings have been phenomenal on the show, Doug. Cristiano, have you been blown away by the ratings Dead Set Legends have been getting?
And, you know, the numbers speak for itself.
Well, they do. They do, Ducky boy. The numbers speak for themselves.
Do.
Now, Cristiano, you were going to come into the studio this morning, but unfortunately your coach, Rafa Benitez, said that wasn't possible. A great disappointment for you?
I don't want to cry about that, but sometimes I think yes.
Well, thanks for your time, Cristiano. We appreciate it. I bring you the big ones on this show.
What a lovely man.
They're expecting.
Thanks for hogging the interview.
Why
didn't you let me get a question?
Well, he didn't want to speak to you. Next Saturday night, when they're playing at the G, they're expecting 99,000 people.
Oh, mate, does that surprise you?
Well,
Melburnians,
have we got anything to worry about when we're rolling out a game that's not captivating the fans at the moment?
Our state of origin had 90 plus there. The state of origin, New South Wales, Queensland.
So everything's okay.
Doesn't matter. You could bring marbles to the MCG and you'd get 95.
Right. Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman's range of the latest and greatest TVs from Samsung, including SUHD, curved and smart TVs.